This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. WGR on the Western Hotline. Matthew Collar, S-K-O-R, score north. Matthew, what's the best way to say that? Like, do you score? Is it like that? Or are you just sort of, I know you don't spell it out.
So here they have a thing with Norwegian stuff, and that's where the Skull Vikings comes from. And so it's a play off of that. So instead of being score, as in like the score in Chicago, it's S-K-O-R. So it's a regional thing.
Does it work? Let's be honest. Does it work?
I mean, no, you know what? It actually has worked better than when we were 1500 ESPN, because people here don't like ESPN because they think that ESPN only cares about New York and L.A.
Oh. Are they right?
Yeah. That is the...
Yes. No, they are right. And you guys know that. That's right.
Yeah, you're close. Yeah, I don't know. Is it Minnesota is not the Midwest exactly, or is it?
Sure it is.
It's the Midwest. That's
right,
Matt? It feels like too north.
The upper Midwest.
Yeah. The upper Midwest. Thank you. All right, that makes sense.
Or the great north, as people love to play up the north thing, including us.
Yeah,
sure. I would.
So the city slickers in New York only care about, or at ESPN only care about New York and LA.
Yeah, right. We know that.
I get that.
Matthew says it. He called us out on that. He
so,
was correct.
So this digs, refresh my memory. It was during the season. I remember, I don't know if we talked to you at the time, Matthew, but there was a lot of, Stephon Diggs might be unhappy. And like he made some public comments and there was a lot of speculation. And we spent a day or two pondering whether that would be a good idea for the Bills. And lo and behold, here we are. It's February, and I don't know, are we too late? Is the fire out? Is he definitely not moving on? Did he put his stuff back on Instagram? Like, where's this thing at with Diggs?
Okay, so going back to after week three in Chicago, they put together an abominable performance on offense, and he was extremely frustrated with the run-first approach and them not looking to target not just him, but also Adam Thielen as well. He wanted them to throw the ball down the field more often and thought that was the way to win, which turns out he was completely right based on the next 6 to 8 weeks and the rest of the season, where they became one of the best offenses in the NFL after he did that. So he skipped two practices, which, of course, when that happens, all the red flags go up of what is going on. Does he want to get traded? Is he holding out? And they fined him $200,000. And when he came back to talk to the media, at first he said he was sick. And then we all looked at him like, okay, that's not true. And then he said, okay, well, there is truth to all rumors. So then everyone went and renamed their fantasy teams. There's truth to all rumors. But after that, I mean, everything really settled down after that, because they started throwing the ball more often. They started targeting him deep. And, you know, in terms of the put your money where your mouth is, he absolutely did that. And he was second best in the entire NFL in yards per catch this year. When Adam Thielen went down for a significant amount of time, I think he was out 6 or 7 weeks, Stephon Diggs stepped up, and I thought he was Pro Bowl worthy, considering they threw the third fewest passes in the NFL, and he still ended up over 1,000 yards. And if you look at, you know, completion percentage and throwing his way, quarterback rating throwing his way, he's been an elite receiver for a while now and doesn't quite get the attention that he deserves, partly because his head coach wants to run the football more often. I mean, the 1 year that Diggs was over 100 catches, they fired the offensive coordinator because he wouldn't run more. And I think that that's where Diggs' frustration comes from, because if you look on a per-throw basis toward him, he's one of the elite receivers in the NFL. And then if you watch closer, if you're there in training camp, if you're there watching him on the coach's film, the All-22, and you watch the routes he's running, in the divisional game against San Francisco, he's smoking Richard Sherman on route after route, and they're not getting him the football. And then Mike Zimmer at halftime says, you know what we need to do is run more. And Stephon Diggs is one of the smartest and most competitive players that I have been around in my entire reporting career. And so he knows what we know about passing the football and winning games. And more than anything, I see a guy who desperately wants to win and also wants to show the world exactly how good he is. The fact that he doesn't have a Pro Bowl yet and that Adam Thielen has a couple is probably, you know, not his favorite thing in the world. I think he believes that he's right up there with the great receivers in the game, and I've heard personnel people say the same exact thing. So, you know, of course he's not thrilled with that when he feels like he could be maximizing his talent, but at the same time, the Minnesota Vikings have zero reason to trade Stephon Diggs. He is under contract. He's great at football. They still want to win here this year, even though they've got some salary cap issues. And he's always been weird on social media. I'll also say that. There's a lot of national people making way too much of weird tweets. I talked to him about that in, like, 2016. I was like, what's up with your tweets, man? And he said, well, you know, I just don't want to say anything, so I sort of just throw out cryptic stuff. Like, that's been going on for a long time.
Okay, so has there been – where did this new round of – should the Vikings trade Stephon Diggs? Should you trade a number one pick for Stephon Diggs? Like, what generated the, is it just off-season boredom, or was there something that he did that sparked it?
Well, I think it's a combination of off-season boredom with, like, hey, who might want to be traded off of the Minnesota Vikings because they're in salary cap hell? The Vikings have the worst salary cap situation in the entire NFL. They are currently $11 million over the salary cap. So that's a little bit of a problem. And when you start analyzing the roster and say, oh, wait, wasn't, you know, Diggs unhappy back in week four? But he went to Super Bowl week and did a million interviews brought to you by Old Spice or something. And in every one of them, he talked about, you know, can't wait to get back out there with Kirk Cousins and trying to win and you know, still having a great team. And also there's nothing that this guy has done that would indicate since that one incident in week four that he wants out. He hasn't loafed around. He plays extremely hard. And then people start grabbing clips of him on the sideline, like yelling at people and stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I know. He's definitely the first player ever to get upset when his team is losing on the sideline, even though Adam Thielen did the same thing at the end of 2018. No one called him a diva or a malcontent or said anything about him wanting out. And yet when Stephon Diggs does it, that's a big problem. I remember in the Super Bowl, Tyrann Mathieu was upset on the sideline. I don't think anybody said, oh, he must want to get traded from the Chiefs. Like, it's just, he's a really competitive player who burns hot. He plays incredibly hard, and he pushes people around him because he believes that this team is good enough to win a Super Bowl, and he wants to see them maximize their talent. There isn't a whole lot that would indicate to me that he is pushing super hard to get traded, and even if he wants to go to another team that's going to throw to him more often, he really has zero leverage to do so. He's under contract for three more years. I don't think he's going to sit the next 3 years waiting to go get the ball thrown to him by Baker Mayfield or something.
Boom.
Right. The only option is to go full on, like, you know, Antonio Brown and just, like, make it impossible for the team to not trade you. Like, that's your only option. And I'm guessing you don't think he's got that in him.
No. I mean, the closest he got was missing a couple of practices, which were on, I think, a Monday and a Wednesday. And then he played that weekend and was really great. So, okay. I mean, that is the only thing that's ever happened that I would say was even really notable. I mean, he's certainly been upset before behind the scenes that I've heard about, and I also think that he would love to be closer to home if that could happen because he's from D.C. He lost his dad when he was 13 years old and kind of raised his brothers and things like that. And, you know, his mom, I believe, still lives in Washington, D.C., and I know that he went back to Maryland to complete some more classes last offseason, so he's got a lot of ties there, and I'm sure if there was some sort of situation where he could go to Baltimore or go to Washington, he would. But you're looking down the road at that. I mean, if you're the Vikings, how are you going to get anything remotely to close to a player that's this good? You can draft whatever receiver you want. The Vikings thought they really needed a receiver in 2016 and drafted Laquon Treadwell. And in his first year, he had one catch. So, I mean, sometimes, as you guys know, it doesn't exactly work out, even if the guy is supposed to be a great prospect. It's really hard to get a receiver who is this good. And when you have one, you don't let him go. And my understanding is everyone in the Vikings front office is basically hanging up their phone when people call about Stephon Diggs.
Matthew Collar with us. Matthew managed to get the Twitter handle at Matthew Collar once upon a time. He joins us now on the Western Hotline. Amazing. I tried for it. So I know you're a Bridgewater fan, right, Matt? That's right to say, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I think he's good.
You're a Bridgewater fan. You like the guy. You covered him, and Then he went to New Orleans after that injury. And in the last couple of days, there's this speculation that he's about to get rich. And I wonder what you think of that. Do you think, would it be surprising if a team paid whatever it would be? I mean, I know that Jeremy Fowler, he's ESPN, I think, took some exception to, like, the $30 million a year didn't come from me, but whatever the number would be to qualify this. Would you be, like, shocked if that happened for Bridgewater or not?
No, I would not be shocked. I mean, for a couple reasons. I mean, number one, Nick Foles, who, is Nick Foles, gets paid, what, $22 million a year or something by the Jaguars? And he had much less of a history and pedigree aside from one crazy playoff run, and he gets paid by somebody because quarterback desperation will always be quarterback desperation. But in Teddy's case, it's never been about him as a quarterback, but only about whether his knee could hold up. The Vikings believed fully that they had their franchise quarterback who was going to be here for a decade and that they could possibly win a Super Bowl with. And, you know, judging by what happened in 2017 with Case Keenum, I think that they might have won the Super Bowl if Teddy Bridgewater had been their quarterback. He's also a great example of a guy where sometimes our fantasy stats versus what actually happens on a football field don't exactly match up. So, you know, people will go back to 2015 where he didn't throw a lot of touchdowns. It was just that Adrian Peterson scored all the touchdowns that year, that, you know, he showed a ton of potential as a guy with great poise and accuracy. And if you dig deeper, they had a terrible team that year before Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs had really emerged as stars. And yet he found a way to win 11 games and get them within a Blair Walsh field goal that I believe I watched in your basement.
That's right.
Blair Walsh. I was eating pizza and wings and watching him shank that field goal. But then, you know, so everyone is worried about his knee. But he gets into games, and he does nothing but win. And his last three starts were flat-out excellent, especially the one in Chicago where he was making throws on the move. And you know, I think that it's something that's really hard to find, is someone who has these great leadership qualities, who can represent your franchise extremely well and get everyone to buy into what you're doing, and then have the accuracy as well, the pocket presence as well. And I think what has really crystallized for me watching Kirk Cousins is pocket presence is a huge, huge, huge deal, because all the defensive ends in the NFL are amazingly good. So if you can't step up or you can't move or make plays off schedule, then you're in trouble. And I think that NFL evaluators watch Bridgewater and say, you know, he can do all of those things, and as long as his knee holds up, you can win a lot of games with him.
Do you have a spot in mind for him?
I have ones that I know I would like to see, because I think that those teams are set up well, and the first one is Indianapolis. I mean, I know they're talking about Phillip Rivers, but, I mean, would you rather have a guy who's shot or a guy who's 27 and brings you probably a better quarterback at this moment?
You know what, Matt? Like, to me, that's a question of just how badly do you want to put all your chips in on Bridgewater? And I'm not sure the injury would have to have anything to do with it, but it's just like, I hear your argument, and I could see somebody making it, see one of these teams investing in him like that. But I would probably sooner expect the two players, Rivers and Bridgewater, to get similar contracts, where it's like 2 years, you're right. And so if you were picking in that way, then it's different. But if you wanted to really like go all in on Bridgewater, of course you would choose him over Rivers because of his age.
Well, and there's many different ways to go in with Bridgewater, too. I mean, you can put a contract out there that's like Jimmy Garoppolo, where if the 49ers want to cut Jimmy Garoppolo today, that's totally fine. It doesn't it would create a bunch of cap space if they wanted to, because they set it up that way, where he's either going to make a lot of money if he's great, or they're just going to cut him and move on. And that could be what somebody does with Bridgewater, to say, you know, we'd like you to prove it more, but we're going to sign you to a long deal. So if you keep proving it, then you keep getting paid. I also think that Tampa Bay is a really interesting situation there. I mean, Tampa Bay is not close to Miami where he's from, but it's the same state, and they are set up really well with those wide receivers. They've been building for a while, and I'm sure that Bruce Arians would love a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, that is one of the great things that Bridgewater does, is he is one of the best in the NFL at not turning the ball over, and coming from a quarterback who just threw 30 picks. And then the sleeper is to be in your division with New England. I mean, he seems like a Belichick type of quarterback. Get it to the playmakers, shorter throws, get rid of the ball quick. I mean, I think that would work too if Tom Brady actually leaves.
Right. And you could do what San Francisco did with Garoppolo. You could also do what Minnesota did with Cousins. Like, maybe just only for 2 years instead of three. Like, just a ton of money, but it's shorter term so that you can get out of it if it doesn't go how you want it to go.
Right, exactly. And I think for Bridgewater, he made the right move by staying as a backup for one more year, and then when he got his opportunity, he took advantage of it. So now, if you're a team that wants to win, and you're looking at what Phillip Rivers did last year or what Teddy Bridgewater did in a very small sample, I mean, I think that's a tough call because Phillip Rivers might not have anything left there. So you might say to Teddy, okay, we are going to, let's say, draft a second-round quarterback and put him behind you and maybe develop him as a backup if your knee falls apart, but here's a bunch of cash to try and help us win right at this moment. So I think he's in a really good spot with a bunch of different teams needing quarterbacks, which is totally different from where it was last year where it seemed like every team had their solution.
With Matthew Coller on WGR, just a couple more minutes. Do you have a guess on Brady?
Yeah, I think I'd probably go with everyone else's guess, which is that he finds a way to stay in New England, but I mean, Los Angeles, otherwise, doesn't he live in Los Angeles, and they're opening a new stadium, and it's a pretty good team. I think that they've got enough playmakers for him. Keenan Allen's a great receiver. Austin Eckler coming out of the backfield is like his James White type of player. So, I mean, that would be the place I would go, but I mean, that's also a hard division because of Patrick Mahomes. Maybe Brady wouldn't be scared off by that, but I think if I'm going with which team could be a serious winner with really good quarterback play and also has enough to put around him to make things interesting, that's probably it. But, you know, it's also the same as the other ones. I mean, Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Tom Brady would be all sorts of fun.
I guess it depends on whether you think he is got much more left in the tank than even Rivers does. Like I don't know how much better Brady is going to be than Rivers was last year at this point in his career.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I also just remember watching those games and thinking, can anyone catch a football for the New England Patriots anymore, right? I mean, what did they go, 12-4 or something like that? And we're going, I don't know, it's quarterback.
I know, terrible year, right?
Right? How can they even look at this football team with that sort of record? But, you know, even when you look a little deeper into his like PFF grades and his accuracy and things like that, he was still throwing the ball on target a lot. It's just that nobody was making plays, and you have Antonio Brown show up briefly, and then they try trading for Mohamed Sanu. That's about the 50th time that they've tried trading for some guy, and it hasn't really worked out, you know, aside from Randy Moss. But wasn't Ocho Cinco there briefly?
Yep.
And they, you know, they've sort of run through these guys before. But this year, it really seemed to fall apart around Brady. So I think if he was in a good situation, he could probably still find enough. And one thing he's really great at is, just like Drew Brees, gets rid of the ball really quickly. So if they sort of tweak the offense, this might be why he wouldn't work in Tampa Bay, is because they love to throw it downfield with Arians. But if you had an offense that wanted to go with a lot of quick passes and he was getting rid of the ball quickly, getting it to playmakers, I think he could still lead a team that wins. And last year, again, with a guy who didn't turn the ball over very much, I think that that is a legit skill as a quarterback that we don't look at enough, is how often do you get sacked, how often do you turn it over? And if you avoid those two things, you could still win even if you don't put up impressive stats.
Look how interesting Minnesota sports is, right? Like, Boudreaux being fired was kind of a stunner, and they've been around. The Twins might be good. The Twins were good last year. They might be as good or better.
That's a baseball team.
Yes. Yeah. The Timberwolves traded almost their entire roster the other day. That was pretty interesting. The Lynx, maybe. Like, you've got a lot to talk about there.
Oh, yeah. It's been a crazy couple of weeks here. I don't think anybody saw the Boudreaux firing coming, where they're competing for a playoff spot, and they had just made a trade that got rid of Jason Zucker, who was a very one-dimensional scorer. He's like a fast Thomas Vanek, who, of course, will score a million goals playing with Crosby, but, you know, couldn't carry much when he was here. But they got Galchenyuk back, so you thought, all right, well, I guess they'll just stay in the playoff race, see if they could get eighth place and lose in the first round again, and then build from there. And then all of a sudden, Boudreaux's gone. It's like, okay, now, well, what direction are you guys going? Because if you guys are going to tank, then why didn't you start doing that, I don't know, at the beginning of the year? That's what this team needs. Tell me if this sounds familiar. But, like, this feels so very much 2010-11 Buffalo Sabres is basically where we're at with the Wild.
Yeah. Hmm. He definitely – not only did not a lot of people see it coming, the account I read of it by Michael Russo was that Boudreau really didn't see it coming either. Like, he was quoted in the story I read as saying, like, we got through a certain threshold of the season here, and – I told my family, like, they were making plans for, like, his 1,000th game or something, coaching, and his daughter was going to fly in, and he finally told, like, go ahead, get the tickets, we're fine. Like, I'm gonna make it. And then that was the end of that.
Whoops. Well,
unfortunate, because he's a great coach.
Comparisons to the 2010 Sabres, those are bold. You're facing a decade of misery, at least.
Right.
So, good luck.
Could be, yeah, probably, likely.
Likely, right. Thank you, Matthew.
Good talk.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.